This is a replay of the Thursday night, September 4th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. I'll try to make it worth your while and maybe entice you to call. In case I'm successful, 888-876-5593. That's 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh, R-O-L-L-Y-E. All right, so I figured we'd start with the wrists. Then we'll talk to Carol and to Karen. I'm looking forward to both of that. But, yeah, there were a couple stories, and thanks to Bob at Master Control. Yeah, he has no idea what a help he is to me, because usually I think about this show about, oh, I don't know, let's see, about 9:57. Yeah, right. We're live at 10, so Bob's help is tremendous. I do usually find time to find your requests, and I did that tonight as well, so we'll do that too. But all right, this is a Chuck E. Cheese. And you know, when you go to Chuck E. Cheese, you expect to be entertained. Well, if you're a kid anyway. And you expect there's going to be a show. Oh, there sure was in Florida. That's here are the kids eating their pizza or whatever. And in walk the police officers who say, we're going to detain the mouse. Not making this up. Chuck E., stop resisting. You are being detained. Stop resisting. Do not cause a scene here, sir. That's exactly what they said. And so the officers led him away. So the first thing I thought, because I do have a facial wreck story for you, I said, well, it's Chuck E. Cheese. Must have been facial wreck. But in this case, Jermell Jones was in the Chuck E. Cheese costume. And what happened was a woman reported that her credit card was stolen when she had a pizza party at the restaurant a couple months ago. And so she did a little activity and traced the fraudulent activity to a restaurant employee who was charged with three felonies. And not only that, but it's hard to argue when they find the stolen card on your person in the suit. And that's exactly what happened. And so it was that officers had not planned to arrest him inside the restaurant. But when they approached him, he immediately tensed up and resisted. So at that point, they had to make the decision. So they put him in handcuffs in front of all the kids. And so, yeah, that's right. I'm telling you, it's a good time at Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah, there's a floor show for you. But this facial wreck story just really, really bothered me. You know, new technology is used in a lot of ways, and we often talk about the fact that science is so far ahead of wisdom, it isn't even funny. Things like facial wreck can be very helpful. They also can be very dangerous. And in this case in New York, it's probably more of the latter. Now, New York actually has some laws that says what the police can and cannot do in the name of facial wreck, but they can bypass them by just going to the fire department. We'll just leave it at that. They can get access to this, but fine. I'll leave that for some political discussion with someone else. That's not why that got my attention. Here is the deal. We have a guy who, is 8 inches shorter and 70 pound lighter than the suspect. Yeah, but nonetheless, he's dragged out of the house and arrested. Now, fortunately, his legal defense team, you know, public defender type thing, was able to prove that not only was he falsely identified, but that he wasn't even in the state. And so apparently Diane Ackerman at the Digital Forensics Units of the Legal Aid Society says, you know, this is not uncommon and it could very easily have been solved by traditional police work. Yeah. And so an alarming pattern of arrests based on facial rec that's just wrong. And sadly, what's interesting, it's not only wrong, it's biased. It turns out that a lot of these matches are occurring with people of color, and actually more women than men as far as that goes. But in the case of our fellow wrongfully arrested, he was African American and he had some dreadlocks. Well, so the person who had the facial wreck was too. Oh, if you're wondering what the actual perpetrator did, he exposed himself in public places. While he was doing that, our arrestee was on the turnpike driving home from Connecticut. So charges have been dropped, but I hope he sues him out of recognition. For one thing, he was up for a job, and it waylaid it when this happened, which I can understand. I think any employer would say, arrested? Yeah, we'll wait a while. But so the deal is that we've got a lot of use of facial recognition misidentifying individuals, and you say to yourself, well, all right, if it's a tool, shouldn't it be required that they do some honest detective work first and, you know, maybe check the height and the weight of the person? Apparently not. So there you have that. All right, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And that takes us to Carolyn Des Plaines. Welcome to WGN Radio. Carol, are you with us? No, we lost Carol. Oh, sorry about that. Oh, wait, no, there you are. There you are, Carol. I'm sorry about that.
No, I tried to call last night, but it was too late, about the song that the man had
about. Yes, you're not alone. I got several email, and thank you to everybody. Apparently, it's You'll Never Walk Alone.
Right. And it's from the movie Carousel by Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, now I got to play it, right? I got so so many people saying this. I guess I have to play it with Jerry Lewis singing it. Oh, this is going to be festive. But thank you, thank you, thank you for thinking of me, for calling, and for calling back. That was so nice of you.
Oh, that's okay. I enjoy your show.
Well, great to have you. Thanks, Carol. All right,
okay,
so good deal. Yeah, and right, I said I would play that. I don't remember, was it Ken who requested that? I'm sorry if I blasphemed him, and it wasn't, right? But whoever it is will be playing. And by the way, this is assuming that I can find it online, because I guarantee you, I got a lot on my computer, thousands and thousands of that, but I'm almost positive that Jerry Lewis singing anything. Yeah, like I said last night, if it was Jerry Lee Lewis, now we're talking. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And that is going to take us to Karen in Knoxville. Karen, welcome to WGN Radio. How's it going?
It's going okay, Raleigh. I wanted to first tell you, I'm sorry I heard about the passing of your friend Carol Ford last week. And I'm sorry, I know you were pretty close to her. So
yeah, closest person in my life. Talk to her every day.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's a tough one, but thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of arrests.
Yes.
In our state, there have been, in recent months and weeks, a lot of arrests for DUI, and the people turned out to be sober.
I love it. So tell me about the context of this. Why were they suspected?
I don't know. Well, there were 8 in recent weeks, and 7 of them apparently seven of the arrests were by the same state trooper.
Oh,
in the Nashville area.
Interesting. I just looked this up while we were talking, and apparently Fox 17 did an investigation under this.
Yes.
And they found over 600 cases since 2017.
Wow.
See, now, I must admit, I've never been arrested for it, but I have been pulled over for drunk driving on numerous occasions. I've never had a drink in my life, never even had a cup of coffee, none of this. What it is, well, one time I remember I really should have been pulled over. I turned around to look for an 8-track in the back of the car.
While you were driving?
Yes, of course, while I was driving, yes. But all these things are like that, you know. And in every case, after the officers talk to me for a few seconds, I can see that they're disappointed they couldn't make the big arrest. You know, one guy I remember got me because I was driving, you know, 30 on a state highway. And he said, "Well, you're obviously not drunk. Why are you going so slow?" I said, "Because you were behind me and I didn't see a speed limit sign, so I decided to err on the side of caution."
Well, I would. That's what I'd have done.
Right, exactly. And he said, "Yeah, makes sense." And I mean, yeah. So we were stopped once in Utah, and actually John was behind the wheel, and it was a ridiculous thing. And when the cop came back with his driver's license, he said, "Well, sir, this was actually a pretext stop. I was hoping I could arrest you." And I said to the guy, "I can't believe you just told us that." And so he said, "Well, you had an Idaho license plate, and you know, we were told to look out for people from out of state." And he was a young guy, and I said, "Next time, don't admit this to the driver."
No.
Yeah, right. Right. So I can see that, but apparently a lot of people who are sober, you know, are pulled over. But what's alarming in Tennessee is that they're being arrested when it's obviously they're not drunk.
No, and it comes back that they don't have any alcohol or any drugs in their system at all.
Right, right, exactly. And so it's apparently the governor signed some law a couple months ago that now TBI has to identify how many sober people they're arresting and why. So that's going to be an interesting story. I'm sure the Tennessean will cover it.
Oh, yeah, and one of our TV stations had carried a story from Nashville.
Yeah.
It might have been WSMV4.
Right, Channel 4, right, exactly, TV4, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, in fact, that I haven't seen it, but I know it's there. It's on YouTube, the clip. So people who haven't seen it who want to, just look for WSMV4, investigate 7 innocent people arrested for DUI. It's right up there.
And one was a lady that, you know, she was tired, yes. The officer pointed out her eyes were bloodshot. But that wasn't why.
Right.
That she hadn't had anything to drink or any other drugs detected.
Well, apparently there was a thing on Facebook where a former, what is he here? I got to get his title right. But it's truly hilarious. I mean, not to him, obviously. A former U.S. attorney is the 8th sober driver arrested for DUI. I think by the same trooper. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's the deal. There's a story here with pictures, don't you know? And I find it interesting that the 7 and now the 8 that we're talking about were all arrested by this same officer.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently the former U.S. attorney was female, Jane Bondurant, and she was investigated. She says, "I'm 8 people too many." And so what happened in her case, although I got to tell you kind of wonder, were they drinking? Because she got into a fender bender with a cop, a Franklin police officer. And so, yeah, right. So they called in, and here again, they said she had bloodshot, watery eyes and was impaired. And she's, "I'm 71 years old. I've been in a wreck. What do you think?" Yeah, right. So,
yeah, that'll shake up anybody.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, her blood work later came back showing nothing. The charge was you know, nulled. Obviously, nothing was prosecuted. But you know, it's terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, it is. Well, speaking of, you'll never walk alone.
Yeah.
Gary and the Pacemakers has a good version of it.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not blaming the song. I'm just saying they want to hear Jerry Lewis doing this, and this is painful to even think about. So, well,
he used to end his telethon.
Yeah. Yeah.
With that song.
Well, I guess better than that than the Look at Us, We're Walking, Look at Us, We're Talking deal from decades earlier. So,
oh, no.
Oh, yeah, that was what they did. They paraded them around in a circle, and I sung some of it last night. I gave you the words. They actually did this, and it was about as politically incorrect as anything's ever been. In fact, I want to look for that on YouTube. I wonder if anybody saved that clip. So,
I bet they did.
Yeah, well,
somebody did.
It's hard to say because this is before a VHS tape existed, so it would have to be someone with a reel-to-reel video recorder.
It could be.
Yeah.
Because a lot of TV stations carried that.
Oh, did they ever? Yes, absolutely.
Channel 5 in Atlanta did, and Channel 10 here did.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing is all these people thought Jerry was so altruistic. That's how he made the bulk of his money. He got a big percentage of that.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is fine, but it was never disclosed.
Yeah, that should have been
right
disclosed.
Yeah, and is it like some other telethons where the local stations get a cut of the local money? I don't know.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. I know, absolutely.
I have a request. The song Every Little Bit Hurts.
Oh, yes, Brenda Holloway.
Brenda Holloway.
Oh, yes, I'd love to play that. It'll be much better than Jerry Lewis. But I will play Jerry first because I'm being shamed into it. But then I'll be happy to play Every Little Bit Hurts.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for calling. But
and an update.
Yes.
On my situation, medical. Just had an appointment with the surgeon's office, and I only have one more of these in March.
All right.
And then they will release me.
That's wonderful. Oh, well, March, we have to have a celebration.
Oh, yeah, indeed, we will.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm still seeing the oncologist for 5 years.
Yeah, and you know,
I don't.
It's wise
don't
to do the
that.
Checks, right? It is absolutely wise to do the checks.
Yes.
So whatever it is you want to know about it, you want to catch it early, but hopefully it'll just be a visit, a social visit. There you go. All right.
Yeah.
So good deal, Karen. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593. We got Jack. We got Isaac. We got Laura. We got you, I hope, on WGN Radio.
It's been a love day. It's been a good day. A good day for mankind. As saccharine as it may sound, as corny as it may be, my God, what a good day for mankind. When you walk through a storm, keep your head up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden.
If you want to hear more of it, you can hear the whole thing online. YouTube has several versions of it, but that's from the 1987 telethon, and that is absolutely Jerry Lewis, whether you like it or not. We'll pick it up after the news on WGN Radio.
Look at us, we're walking. Look at us, we're talking. We who've never walked or talked before. Look at us, we're laughing. We're happy and we're laughing. Thank you from our hearts forevermore. But there are so many other children who only speak with a silent prayer. For those who haven't been so lucky, we hope and pray you will always care. And someday they'll be walking, someday they'll be talking. Imagine walking to the candy store. But the fight has just begun. Get behind us, everyone. Your dollars make our dreams come true. Thanks to you. Thanks to you.
obviously I found it. And it was not the MDA telethon, by the way. It was UCP, United Cerebral Palsy. But that was the theme song. And I'll tell you what, it was on there for years. And after a while, some people thought it was just terrible. It was just politically incorrect, all that stuff. But the other side of that is a lot of the people who were involved in that said no. They absolutely were grateful for everything, not only the bucks that came from the telethon, obviously. So that was it. And, and I knew that it existed somewhere. Yeah, but I could find nothing of the video. But the kids would be parading around in a circle. And that was, I think the visual was what some people said, you know, come on. But hey, raised a lot of money for a good cause. So we've got Isaac on the South Side. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How's it going?
Tonight?
All right, you tell me.
I was supposed to have my physical test for CPD this Saturday, and I've injured my leg or sprained it. Not sprained it. Well, I don't know what I've done to it, but I can't put enough weight on my left leg to run on it.
Okay.
I was trying to go hard to get under 13 minutes this Monday. I also was fasting Monday, and I think that, I don't know, I just think that I just went too hard. Well, that's what the doctor said, that I was just pushing myself too hard, and now I have to wait to the next, opportunity, which will come later in September. I don't like being derailed off of my plans, but, you know, I can't do anything other than, you know, what my body allows me to do, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, and I'm really sorry this happened to you, but I'm glad you mentioned it, because it's a warning to all of us. You know, don't try to overshoot your capabilities for any reason. When you were training and starting to feel like you were having to push it, maybe that's the time to step back a little and not push it. The job will wait.
That is true, and I did get under 13 for the mile
and a half. Well, and boy, you're going to be paying for it for a while.
Exactly.
So, which I hate to hear all the way around, but and I'm sure you will be fine, thank God, and you'll get back on track, and hopefully you will not forget it. So next time you overshoot your capabilities, you'll say, no, I'll pull back about now.
Yes, take the kettle off of the heat or whatever.
Yes,
it is.
Yes.
I was calling in to request a song. It's a throwback. I was requesting it in honor of Labor Day. I meant to call you on Monday, but that's when I had the whole whatever it is.
You were in pain. So, I understand that.
Yeah. So the song is, I hope it's not too political, but it's Labor Day. It's Joe Hill, sung by Paul Robeson. I think that when I hear it, you know, Labor Day is about the working man, and the song, I mean, well, if you want to explain the song, it's up to you, but, you know, the song is about working men coming together to organize and to stand up for their rights as workers, so, yeah.
You know, it's interesting you say that. You know, I just played Look at Us, We're Walking, and the reality is, apart from that, there were several times people were on strike, and they're like, look at us, we're walking. And
I love it.
Yeah, I think it was even the title of a Mary Tyler Moore episode from way back when. But absolutely. And, you know, Robeson, obviously, very, very political figure, and because he was avowed communist at the time, there were people who were like, oh, my God. But that doesn't take away from a good song, and I'll be happy. It's just like I disagreed with everything the Chad Mitchell Trio ever sung, but Barry's Boys was a great song, you know. So sure, happy to do it.
All right, thank you, Raleigh.
Good deal. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Bye. All right, so I'm a sucker for a good lyric. The Draft Dodger Rag, Phil Oakes wrote that, but my favorite version is actually Pete Seeger. And I know you're playing anything like Pete Seeger. I'm telling you, I'm a sucker for that stuff. You turn a phrase well, and I don't care if I disagree with you. It's just fun. All right, yeah, some people take themselves too seriously. All right, we've got Laura in Willowbrook. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Oh, my gosh. You're talking about a movie, a theater song, so you know I got to talk about it.
Oh, yes.
That Jerry Lewis version, I don't have good or bad to say about it. But, oh, my gosh, the movie version is so good.
Oh,
why
yeah.
would we let him sing it?
Yeah, no, I understand that there are good versions of it. But, you know, he was nothing if not theatrical, you know. After he'd make his little statement about what a great day it is, you'd see tears in his eyes as he's singing You'll Never Walk Alone. And like, oh, give me a break. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. I love the movie and the song, but yeah, Jerry Lewis, leave it alone.
Exactly. Exactly.
Have a great night, Rowley.
All right, good deal. Now, did you get in touch with John? Did he exchange numbers from Ken and all that? This is terrible because I think I left the numbers in the other studio. But Ken, believe it or not, caller Ken wants to treat you to the Thomas Jefferson performance.
Oh, how would it have been sent? Was it sent to email or something?
No. He called on the air and he gave John his phone number. And this is going to be the problem because I say I unless John brought it, I'm pretty sure it's sitting 100 miles from now on my desk, and if that's the case, okay. I'll be back there on the 15th and we'll get you the number.
How sweet. Well, that's okay. Kind.
Well, in the meantime, I want you to hold on and give John your number so that we have that too, so we can make the exchange.
All right. Well, thank you, Raleigh.
Sure. Don't thank me. Thank Ken. Very generous offer.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Hang on. All right. So, yeah, I thought that was just lovely. I saw that piece of paper. Yeah, man, I tell you what. Right. It's always something. So, hell, I almost forgot the access that gets me on the air. So at least we're talking, so I remembered something. Well, we'll talk to Jack in St. Charles with a request, but they're backing up, and you're going to hear them all, hopefully. And, you know, the show's not over, so if we don't get to it tonight, we will next week. But hopefully we'll do as many of them tonight as we can. 888-876-5593 if you want to join in the action right here on WGN Radio.
I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. In Salt Lake City, Joe says I, him standing by my bed. They framed you on a murder charge, says Joe, but I'm dead. Says Joe, but I'm dead. The copper bosses killed you, Joe. They shot you, Joe, says I. Takes more than guns to kill a man, says Joe, I didn't die. Says Joe, I didn't die. And standing there as big as life, and smiling with his eyes, says Joe, what they can never kill, went on to organize, went on to organize. From San Diego up to Maine, in every mine and mill, where workers strike and organize, it's there you'll find your hill.
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. So, John, just what are you playing? I said, Paul Robeson. All right, here's the deal. If you're unaware, and he was born like before the 1900s, I think 1898. He was alive, actually, till about 1976. And clearly, McCarthy was after, you know, not directly after him, but, you know, the McCarthy era. But here's the deal. He was a bass baritone. He was a concert artist. He was an actor. He was also a professional football player. And it's interesting because in 1915, he got a scholarship to Rutgers, the only African-American student. He wound up All-American in football. He was the class valedictorian. Then he got his LLB from Columbia in New York, playing in the National Football League. Yes, indeed. Became a big figure in the Harlem Renaissance and performed in all over the world, as far as that goes, and very, very renowned. But by 1939, he had something to say, politically speaking, and all the efforts in World War II and all that. And the problem for some people is that he was, of course, it's not about a problem supporting civil rights. The problem was supporting the Soviet policies. And so the FBI, of course, after the war was over, they placed him on the subversive list and all those things. And the McCarthy era, now again, not McCarthy himself, because he was a senator. Most people confuse the whole issue with him. But anyhow, he refused to recant. And so the State Department pulled his passport. And that, like I say, he was touring all over the world. I don't have to tell you about the financial implications of that. And so he had a magazine he put out. He went to Harlem then and was publishing Freedom and all of that. And so eventually, 1958, a Supreme Court ruling restored his ability to travel. But he recorded, you know, almost 300 songs, and a lot of them were not political. They were spiritual and all that, and you can hear by the timbre of his voice, he was a serious deal. But he left us with a very interesting legacy. And like I say, when you are that outspoken, and some people are going to, you know, cotton to it and just love you, but on the other hand, he was blacklisted, which you would expect. And actually, even though I say we're polar opposites, many of the things that he opposed, I did too, like the Korean War, and on, maybe not for the same reasons, but yes. So he has an autobiography, Here I Stand, if you want to read it. And I'll just stop with that. And of course, you can read all about him. But Joe Hill, one of the more famous things, and that's, I think it was like 1948. I didn't look that up, but I'm pretty sure it was about that. All right, so glad Isaac mentioned it, because those are the things I usually don't ever think about. And referring to him as the man, not as his political stance, because we stay away from politics, but clearly he was an entertainer who had a big impact. So, 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, and what is that going to do here? Who's been hanging on the longest? Because I hate to do that to you. Did I get Jack's request? I don't even remember. So, Jack in St. Charles, did I get your request?
Not yet.
Well, let me have it now.
Okay. And this is going to be very political. How about the Martian Hop by the Randells?
Oh, okay. Yeah, amazing it was even made, but I'll be happy to do that.
And Click Clack by Dickie Doo and the Dome.
Oh, there's a Quinella from hell. All right. Click Clack and the Martian Hop. Well, there goes the audience. Yeah. I won't play them back to back, but you'll hear them both tonight.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks for waiting, Jack. All right, yes, the Martian Hop. We have just discovered an important note from space. All right, you'll hear it for yourself if you don't know. Ronnie is in Morrison. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, I was going to say, Raleigh, I never knew about that. I had to look that up on my Victor Reader, known as Wikipedia, and I've tried it, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I think you'll learn a lot about the guy. And like I say, even if you disagree with all of his stance, you'll come away with a great deal of respect for him.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say that. But as I was going to say, I know Hadley's got more workshops. They got some called where you can use Seeing AI or your Alexa devices. And I'll be getting those Alexa devices, the third gen and the fifth one, one that looks like a foot, like a ball, like a football or something.
Good.
Whatever you want to call it.
Good.
Yeah, so...
Good, and for people... I'm glad you brought that up. For people who don't know, Hadley Helps. It's H-A-D-L-E-Y helps.org. All right.
Right.
So what's up?
I was going to say, with the request I would like to give, I don't know if you'll be able to play it or not, but it had to do with the quacking ducks and the geese. I can't think of it. It was back in the 1960s.
Okay.
It was something about one duck, two squawking geese, or whatever it was. I can't think of it, but
It sounds like a demented version of the 12 Days of Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I know every year around Christmas time we read the series of letters from Agnes Holstein, but which is hilarious. But I don't know. There's a song like that. I'll look for it.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, thanks. All right, so yeah, it's probably pretty good too. So we'll do that. Now, what else do we have going on? John in Covington, what's up, John?
Hey, Riley. I just got a suggestion for Isaac to get him underneath that time when he heals. He's got to heal first.
Right.
Okay, but once he heals, Isaac, to get you under that time, what I want you to try is you can buy these at the Foot Locker. You want to get 2 ounce weights, two-ounce weights, one for each ankle, okay? And try it for like 2 weeks. And then run without the 2 ounce weights. It doesn't sound like a lot, but believe me, it's a lot. You will fly. You will fly.
Wow. All right. No, that's good. That's good to know.
And, good luck, Isaac.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks. Appreciate
it,
John.
Thank you, Isaac. All right. Thank you, Riley.
All right. So, and you probably heard on the news that Caitlin Clark's not returning to Indiana for the rest of the WNBA season. Which, good for them. She's had quite a few injuries this year, actually, but she had a right groin injury and then a bone bruise. And bottom line is that there's a lot of people who would want to see her back on the court sooner rather than later. And both the team and her doctor said, nope, you're not safely going to return to the court this season. So everybody agrees that she'll prioritize her long-term health and return in 2026. It was quite the sensation all the way around, although since she's been pro, a lot of other pro players are not fans. I consider it just jealousy or bias, but regardless, that's the deal. And she's very disappointed about that. In fact, she said disappointed is not a big enough word to describe how I'm feeling. And I'm sure that's true. And so hopefully next year will be a killer season for her. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Eduardo is in Tampa. What's up tonight, Eduardo?
Yeah, a couple of things. Before I get into the one of the oldest bookstores, Cornhill, in Boston. So District 5, well, it was kind of slow today. Maybe it'll pick up the next few days. I mean, we had like, 30-something boats and some few mail-ins.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
So how many, you were there, right? You were kind of guarding the scene.
Oh yeah. We were there from, 10 to 6.
And was there ever a really busy time?
No, I mean, it was spread out. Yeah, there really wasn't.
Yeah. And just not many people?
That's just in downtown Tampa at the county building. I'm not aware where else they might have had early voting, but that might have been one of the places.
Interesting. Now, what's the big issue? What are we voting on in Tampa right now?
Oh, well, this is just basic city issues like... better business in the community. I wish they would talk about trade schools. That's what they really need to talk about.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a municipal election. They have to put something on the ballot succinctly as to what it is, I would hope.
Yeah. So, you know, voting for the candidate. I wish there would have been like a referendum on there.
Well,
that would have been great.
From what I understand, and you're right by it, you know more than me, but only people in District 5 were allowed to vote.
Right.
So
right.
This is one,
which is like
one district.
I think like a million.
Right. And so I'm looking at the sample ballot. Okay. So you can vote for city council. All right.
Yeah, they're city council member, yeah.
Of District 5. Vote for one. and they've got a list of looks like about 11 people. So is there a pastor?
I think Scott is a.
Is there a front runner yet? Do we know?
No, but here's the thing: if they don't get 50%, then October 28th they're going to have the runoff.
Oh, between the top few vote getters, who qualifies for the runoff? All right, well, hang on. I want to know more about this. Okay. Don't go away, and I'm going to look it up too, and we'll pick it up right there next hour, right here with you, hopefully on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Ollie James. The worst part about it is it was a hit. That's Jack's Request, that and Click Clack. That was the Randells, there's a dash there. And they were a New Jersey group. There were three guys, the Rappaport brothers, Steve and Bobby Lawrence, I think, and John Spurt, who actually wound up in a band along the Jersey Shore that was not too bad, all things considered. I'm trying to think of what the heck the name of that band was, but they did some nice covers of Unknown Philly records. It was like that. But nonetheless, those are the Randells. But I thought, you know, if we're going to play Martian records, you know, I think we should have at least have equal time for Elise Regina.
Estamos em guerra. Você não me imagina a loucura. O ser humano tá na maior fissura. Por quê? Tá cada vez mais down no high society. Down, down, down no high society.
You know, as I'm playing this, I realize this is not going to work. You're going to have absolutely no idea what the woman's saying. So basically what it was is, you know, hi, Martian, we're calling from Earth, and we're at war, and we want to change, and you can't imagine the craziness here, and we're very anxious because society keeps going down. Yeah, the crisis is becoming a mess, every man for himself, everyone, and yeah, so, and basically they're calling on Martian, so that's... Right, yeah. Just as she was singing, I was like, wait a minute, that's going to have absolutely no context whatsoever. But nonetheless, you at least got to hear the Randells. And yes, you'll hear Click Clack as well and much more. So I'm looking at this District 5 thing, which Eduardo was at today. So yeah, just one district, city council. So I wouldn't imagine this was a tremendously watched race, but you've got a number of people on it. Is anyone considered a front runner, or are they expecting runoffs?
Yeah, Scott, the pastor. Remember we
okay.
mentioned him earlier?
Thomas yeah. Scott. Thomas Scott, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because he's been in service like 10 plus years.
Okay.
And so here's I found this in Tampa Times while we were on hold. So this position is going to pay $75,192.
Uh-huh.
They're going to deal with zoning matters, city contracts, and redevelopment efforts. That comes from the Tampa Times.
Uh-huh, right. Yeah, they usually will pay, you know, reasonably well, but it's just a crowded district to say the least. And I'll be very curious how this goes. Now, when are they going to have like preliminary results, do you think?
Oh, well, this should be Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday's the general, yeah. Tuesday's the general.
All right.
And if nobody gets to 50, then October 28 comes into play.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting. So did it get much coverage? Did anybody, let's ask it this way, did anybody care?
Well, locally it did.
Okay, but
put it that way, yeah.
Locally, people, yeah, I love the guy, by the way, who owns the Crowbar. I'm kind of voting for him, live music event venue and all that kind of stuff. And some of them, man, you look at their political pictures and they look like they're beauty contestants, Juana Colbert in particular. Nice looking girl. And we got sporting events and everything else. So I'll be curious. Well, hopefully I'm glad it's getting some attention. At least people are talking about it.
And I forgot her name, but the daughter of Gwen Anderson, the one that died.
Uh-huh.
She's in the race too.
Really? Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be interesting. All right.
Yeah.
So
okay, let me get to Cornhill here.
Yes. By the
way,
we're talking Boston.
Forget,
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I forget, I got a request. Time Out of My Mind from Steely Dan.
Okay. All right. Let me write that down where I remember this. Okay. Time Out of Time. Okay. I know it.
Yeah.
All right. Four at one. All right. So we're going to talk about the Brattle.
Yeah, so this has been since 1825. Wow,
right.
That's a long time.
Right, and it's no longer in Cornhill. So that's it was founded there, but it's not there anymore. And so the current location, this has been moved several times. So one of the largest bookstores in the country, and I guess the family that owns it now has had it about 75 years.
Yeah, the son took over in 73. It survived a fire, because that's what they mentioned on there.
Oh, sure. Sure. So, you know, it's always listed as one of the oldest. I don't think we know what would be the oldest. I think a few people might claim it, but certainly 1825, to say the least. Now, it would have been interesting if they still were right there in Cornhill, but they have moved a few times.
Okay.
So, yes. And floors, you know, the third floor is all the rare and antiquarian books and all that kind of stuff. The first two floors are kind of general interest. It's used bookstore, as far as that goes, too. It's not something you'd go for, you know, the latest thing on the New York Times bestseller list. This is wonderful to walk into a bookstore like this and find, you know, used stuff that you've been looking for maybe for a few years. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I love books. I could just sit there and read the whole day. It's great.
Right.
Yeah.
No, exactly. And, you know, Denver had a lot of them. I know Boulder Bookstore was big, but Tattered Cover on Colfax. Tattered Cover was just huge. And a wonderful, wonderful bookstore. Ever since I had my run-in with the toxic mold years ago, John doesn't let me into these places anymore, because I have a little bit of a problem when it comes to mold. So, but and most of them are moldy, and that you know you'd expect. But yeah, I miss browsing. That's for sure.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Okay, I'm gonna let you get on to the next call here. All but right. Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
I'll tell you more next week how I went.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing who it is. Maybe Scott's the front runner. He's done it before, but I don't know. Sympathy for the surviving daughter. We'll see.
Yeah, by the time I call you Tuesday, we might know something about that. Yeah,
I'll count on it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, have a great weekend.
All
thank
right.
you.
So there you have it. Local elections. All right. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. I think it's fun that it creates some interest because, you know, they always do those things. Years ago on Jay Leno, every now and then I'd run into that show, and the one episode that I really liked was when they'd be out on the street and they'd be asking people, you know, very obvious questions about current events, and the people were entirely clueless, you know, like who's the vice president? And some of the answers were just priceless, of course. And that's why they did the segments, obviously, because it was supposed to be funny. But on the other hand, I'm thinking this is not funny. And nice to see that you've got a city where at least people recognize the names. Try that sometime if you're in a grocery store. Ask the person who their state rep is. I guarantee they'll look away fairly quickly. I don't know. I don't want to know. Yeah, exactly. So 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. And, oh, yeah, Bob found it. Bob found it. All right. And I know that you'll want to hear it. That's Engineer Bob, who keeps us on the air at night. And yes, in case you were yearning to hear the Hunters' 12 Days of Christmas.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a deer stand and a bear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two mourning doves and a deer stand and a bear tree. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three compound bows, two mourning doves, and a deer stand and a bear tree. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four bird calls, three compound bows, two mourning doves, and a deer stand and a bear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me five golden retrievers, four bird calls, three compound bows, two mourning doves, and a deer stand and a bear tree. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six geese a flying, five golden retrievers, four bird calls, three compound bows, two mourning doves, and a deer stand in a bear tree.
All right, you'll hear the other six if you go to YouTube, but there you have it. That's what you want to hear. That's what I'm here to play. All right, well, hey, it might be better than click-clack, I don't know. All right, so another little warning here. Just when you think they've run out of things to study, you might want to rethink taking your phone to the bathroom. That's right, study links phone use with hemorrhoids. I'm not making this up. Yes, apparently we're talking about scrolling through the phone while you're on the throne. And could be a significant health risk, says the study. And you're saying, what study? Beth Israel Deaconess Medical? I mean, these are serious people. I hope they didn't get a grant. Found that people who brought their smartphones into the laboratory spent noticeably longer time there, sometimes more than 5 minutes, compared to non-users. Now, the extra time was linked to a 46% higher risk of developing hemorrhoids. Traditionally, straining has been the blame. However, a study, and they published it, analyzed 125 patients. Where'd they get the patients? Undergoing colonoscopies. And they suggest that lingering on the toilet with phone in hand will be more of a pressing concern. Uh-huh. Yeah. Can you imagine? There you are in the hospital. You're prepping for a procedure that you don't want to be involved in anyway. And you get the questionnaire. And the questionnaire asks you how long you were on the phone while you're on the throne? I don't know. So they say it increases pressure on the rectal veins. I'm not going to be graphic here, but I would have thought that actually it was a good thing. You know, as long as you were relaxed and whatever, let nature take it. I guess not. Apparently, the majority of participants, when later informed, were not aware that their phones were making their bathroom visits longer. Well, all right, now, here's the worst part, in case you were wondering. A survey from 2022, meaning it's more now, no doubt, two-thirds of Americans use their phones while on the throne. And so, therefore, Beth Israel Deaconess is calling out the risk, saying, you might be in risk. That's right, widespread risk. Hemorrhoids are common. All right, and costly to treat. So that's the deal, in case you were wondering. In 2014, 1.4 million U.S. employer-insured patients, so these are not senior citizens, obviously, or they're working class, sought hemorrhoid care, costing $770 million. I don't want to find out about the care. What the experts are recommending is keep the toilet time under 10 minutes. Resist the urge to bring your phone along. All right, so, well, usually it was a newspaper, right? You bring in something. And so then they talk about the issues with flushing the toilet. I would say there are more issues with not, but I'll leave the study where it is. So 888-876-5593. We got Donna and Roselle. How's it going, Donna?
Hi, Molly. How are you?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
I'm good. Do you remember me?
Yes. Yes, I do, because you had to move. Did you?
I'm moving next Friday.
All right. All right. And for people who don't know, Donna had the landlord from hell. You talk about your basic toxic mold. She was living it, and the landlord brought in somebody who just kind of looked at it and said, all right, so where are you going?
Moving to St. Moving to St. Charles.
All right.
It's about maybe 30 minutes from here.
Okay.
We got an apartment. It's brand new.
Yay.
No one's ever lived in it.
Oh,
so
I like that.
That's a good thing. So I've been working my butt off here, packing. I've been here 16 years, and it's a four-bedroom house. So you can imagine what I had here.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully you're also able to throw out most of it.
I have AmVets. Is going to flip when they pull in my driveway tomorrow because I have...
Good.
I can't even tell you how much stuff I'm just getting rid of.
Good.
I washed everything that's been in the house, washed everything. I actually have all the smaller items and boxes and things moved out already. The movers are coming next Friday.
Okay.
So I'm really, you know, excited about it. And thank God, because, you know, I had no air conditioning this summer either. I told you that, right?
It was horrifying. And I assume this place is not only new, but central air conditioning and heat.
Exactly. It's beautiful. It's really nice. I'm really excited. It's, I mean, we're going to be paying more money, but it's worth it because, you know, just this environment here is horrible. I mean, I'm sad because I know I have a huge vegetable garden I got to leave behind.
Yeah.
But I got my three big pumpkins for my grandkids out of it, so I'm
good.
I'm happy about that.
Good.
So we're really working hard to get you know, everything out of here, washing everything, you know, making sure everything was in containers sealed up and while it was in here. Because I don't know, you know, did I tell you that we did mold tests ourselves?
You did? Tell me what happened. No, I haven't heard a word about this.
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't know what types of mold it grew, but there was peach. My son ordered Amazon. He ordered those Petri dishes. You
right.
know, it's a,
yeah, absolutely.
It's a mold.
Right. You put that out and then you mail them in and they mail you the results. Yes.
You know, you don't even have to mail them in. I mean, they give you a booklet to try to identify
what
type of mold it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll,
but the one.
Yeah.
The one that worries me the most is that you take, well, we took like samples from each spot. Like it was black and then it was white mold and black mold. And then there's an open air one. So all you do is you set the Petri dish out.
And you let it grow.
And leave the lid off.
Yes.
And that's the one that grew the most.
Yes, it would be. The airborne stuff.
It was there's like four Petri dishes and they all look disgusting.
Well, it might, depending, this might be something you want to get the tests like from the Home Depots where you mail them in and they'll tell you precisely what it is. You might want to know since you've been breathing this.
Exactly. Well, I have a code inspector I've called.
Yeah,
I want to.
Yeah, I definitely
document.
Yeah, I'd want to know what this is. I have a feeling it's going to come back as Stachybotrys and Aspergillus among other things. But you want to know. So yeah, those Petri dishes are fine when you mail them in. They will mail you the results. And it's fairly cheap. You know, obviously the expense is when you mail them back, but not that much. Certainly worthwhile to have, especially if you have any difficulties and you start, you know, wanting to treat it, you'll be able to tell doctors or whatever, well, this was the exposure.
Yeah, my doctor told me that there is a type of thing that you can get from it. Myo something or other it was called, I forget. But I think you can actually, because I, you know what, I was laying here listening, thinking about all the things I have to do. And then when you were just talking to...
Oh, by the way, hang on a minute. I blew the break. So,
go ahead.
Yeah, so Bob has gone to the break and the news, and I'll pick it up with you right after that. So don't go away. All right.
I won't.
So,
okay, really.
More mycotoxins more often on WGN Radio.
Every night. night I wonder why you treat me cold, yet you won't let me go. Every little hurt counts. Every little hurt counts. You say you're coming home, yet you never phone. Leave me all alone, my love. It's the loneliness you've given me. Yeah. I can't go on giving my life away. You're the boy who has to say when I should play. Yet you hurt me, desert me.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James, so there you go. That was a request, and at the beginning of the show, actually, I believe Karen wanted to hear Every Little Bit Hurts, 1964, on Tamla. And that was early in Motown's foray into Hollywood. Yeah, West Coast. And both Brenda and her sister Patrice were Californians, and that was cut in Los Angeles. So we're talking with Donna in Roselle, who is moving. And I can't tell you how relieved I am that you're moving. Really, I was so afraid something would make you stay there. I'm like, no, get out of Dodge. So thank God you're going. This is really exciting.
Well, I don't know if I told you this when I spoke to you, but I think right after I talked to you, a guy showed up at my door and handed me a piece of paper. He said, "This is from your landlord, and they're not renewing my lease." So I think they know how bad it is, and they're not going to fix it, I think. So I'm like, okay, see ya. So she gave us till the end of the month, but my son texted her and said, "We'll be out in 2 weeks. We're only paying half a month's rent."
Good.
So that's why I've been having to work my butt off here to get out of here, you know?
I don't blame you. I'd get out as soon as I could, and I definitely would test it, because if something turns up that you wind up with problems, you want to be able to take her to the cleaners.
Yeah, right.
But you have to have a proof to do it.
Oh, I know. I'm working on that, actually. But now, you mentioned, that's what I was laying here thinking, was I going to call tonight, or should I go to sleep because I have so much to do tomorrow? Mm-hmm. But then you mentioned it to, who is it? And from Tampa, is it Jen?
Eduardo.
Jen.
Eduardo.
Eduardo from Tampa. I love when he calls. I love to listen. He's got a really nice voice in a
yes.
way of speaking. But, you had mentioned the mold again mm-hmm. to him, and I go, you know, I'm just going to give her a call tonight. And so, but did you have some kind of a reaction?
Oh, just
some.
Let me tell you about this. Yeah. This was, well, I don't know, 25, 26 years ago. We moved to a house, suburban Philadelphia, in Chad's Ford. In fact, I just recently read that the thing sold for over $1 million. I thought, ooh, poor people. Yeah, it was 5 acres, but, you know, I kind of sensed there was something about it. But John loved the ground, so I figured, how bad can it be? So within 90 days, I started having horrendous knee pain. And so with John, I remember I was looking out the window saying this. He said, "Oh, you're being a drama queen." I was, yeah, maybe. Well, it wasn't too long after that. I was, we're still cleaning things up. And I'd taken a mirror off the wall. And behind the mirror, it looked like black velvet. And so it turned out, no, it was mold. And so being an idiot, I just took Clorox and a rag. No mask, no nothing. Wiped it all off. Okay, end of story. So joints are hurting worse, but then I stopped walking. I could not make transfers. And that's embarrassing when your husband has to lift you off the commode. I couldn't make a transfer. If I was sitting down, I could not stand. So we knew there was a problem, and we were in it for a few months at this point. And interestingly, we went away to Toronto, and after about a week, I got out of the car on my own. I didn't even notice it. And John said, "Do you realize you just got out of the car?" And that's when we realized maybe there's a problem with the house. And so we came back, and this is the bad news, because at that point, if I had stayed away, I probably would have been fine. But we went back and had to be there a few months, not only to test it, but I was doing the show at that time on XM live from that location. And you don't just move a location overnight like that. So we knew we were going, but I was there another 2 months. Well, by the way, when I got back there, within 24 hours, I couldn't walk. But when we left again, surprise, surprise, I didn't get much better. I wound up doing a year of rehab at Bryn Mawr Rehab. And bottom line is it was tremendous toxic mold. It was tested. It was Stachybotrys. It was Aspergillus. It was a lot of other things, too. And it just damn near killed me. Now, the PS to this, the interesting part of this story, is a couple decades later, we had moved to a different house, different place. And John started getting these migraine headaches, and it was really bad. I didn't have any reaction at all, but he was getting them about 4 times a week, the kind where you've got to lay down in a quiet room and all that. He saw every doctor in the world, you name it, and nobody ever figured out anything. And by mistake, we found it because we moved out of that place while we were rehabbing somewhere else for a month. And after 3 weeks, John's headaches went away. They never came back. And so it turned out we did a little research there, and not only were there significant toxins in the house, not mold, but toxins, but it also was directly in a shot of the world's largest copper smelter, or America's largest anyway. So the toxic environment there got him, but didn't get me. Now in the mold house, it got me, but didn't get him. So you just never know, but absolutely environmental exposure is real.
Yes. Well, I called the health department, and they're supposed to be sending a code inspector over.
Good, good.
So
get all the information you can.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yes, absolutely, you'll be affected by mycotoxins, but it's very difficult to prove how that's going to manifest in you. And so the more information you have, the better off you are. But for the most part, if you're not debilitated now, you probably won't become so.
I hope so.
Me too. I hope you can get out of there as soon as possible. But it is absolutely real. And if there is anyone who's listening to us who is facing this, you know, no, this isn't to be taken lightly.
Right. I mean, I was taking a bath earlier because I even moving stuff and lifting, and my back is coming up. I was sitting there soaking the bathtub, and I'm thinking, we have well water.
I was just going to say that. Oh, yeah. The funny you mentioned that. We had well water at the mold house as well. And John had this one really nice shirt. I liked a golf shirt, and it was a beautiful peach color. And I put it in the wash, and it came out with green splotches, something that looked like a Stephen King novel. So it turned out that the well water was laden with copper. And so, yeah, it actually turned our things green. So, yeah, well water, you don't know what's in the water.
Yeah, I know. We
And you're drinking it.
No, we... Yes.
Oh, thank God.
We don't. We make my coffee. I use bottled water. We drink only bottled water here because of the well water. We have a water softener only because... my clothes would be rusty, and all my fixtures would be rusty.
This is not good. And unfortunately, when you're saying you're bathing in it, you know, that's transdermal. You're picking up whatever's in that water.
Yep. So I'm just hoping. I was looking up earlier about detox from mold exposure. So
right.
I think there there's some things you can do.
There's a lot of it. Yeah. And but, you know, unfortunately now when you get in the world of alt med, some of it is just really good, but a lot of it is just lunacy. So you really need to take a look at what you're doing.
Because, I'll research it,
Yes, because there are so many scams out there with that and so many things. The other thing is there are people who think, well, because it's natural, it won't hurt me. No, that's not necessarily true at all. But if you do enough research, yes, there's a number of things that you can do to clear yourself of that.
Yeah, I'm going to work on that as soon as I get out of here.
Yes.
And like I said, I washed every single thing that left this house now. Every single thing, even my containers that I packed things in, I washed them out real good. So I'm hoping I don't take anything with me, and if I do, hopefully it dies.
Exactly. Well, you'll watch it. You'll make sure the ventilation's good and all that kind of stuff. And obviously, if you see anything, if there's anything you see that is compromised, that's what gets thrown out.
My cousin came over a couple weeks ago to bring me some moving boxes, and her eyes were burning.
Of course.
You know, and I must be immune because I've been in it for so many years, but she said, I'll come help you pack, but I'm going to bring a mask. But then I had the windows open because it's cooled off so much. I've been airing the house out. So she said, oh, it's not affecting me today. I'm like, good.
Well, you know, the thing with the exposure, and this is why it's hard to pinpoint and why, you know, it's in some ways, some people say, well, it's not a real condition or whatever, is that systemically it affects your weak points. So it's different with everybody. You can have three people who are exposed to the exact same thing. One of them is perfectly fine, and then two of them have completely different symptoms. Obviously, the allergic symptoms, the respiratory symptoms, that's obvious, but even the headaches and the joint pain and all that. But when you start getting into autoimmune problems, absolutely, you got enough mycotoxins if you have a tendency toward RA or multiple sclerosis or, you know, maybe with someone else it's gastrointestinal. It's whatever your weak point is, that's what it compromises.
Yeah. Well, I'm diabetic too, and I have cirrhosis of the liver. I've had non-alcoholic cirrhosis.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's serious stuff.
Yes, and so my doctor said, you know, you need to, you know, do something because it's not good for you.
I didn't know that part of it, but no, that's very bad for you. And by the way, with that in mind, I would talk to your specialist on this before I took anything to try and detox.
I'm going because,
the liver is what winds up processing all this stuff, and there may be some things where he said, oh, you're not going to do that. That's really important because sadly the liver, you're kind of counting on it to be able to handle the toxins. And when you're talking about the scarring from cirrhosis, man, oh man, you don't want to strain it any more than it is.
Yeah, lucky me. I never drank in my whole life, and I ended up with this.
You know, it's funny you say that. A relative of mine, one of them, my mom's family's from Kuwait, one of them just came to the States because they have that. And, you know, same deal. Never had a drink, you know, and nothing. But it happens. And fatty liver is very common, too, among people who do not drink. And, you know, you don't have to be overweight to get it. So a lot of people, our diet today and everything else, we're doing ourselves in.
Well, I've cured myself, they said, of diabetes now. I mean, my A1C is like 5 now.
That's 5.0? Man, that'd be wonderful. Because 5.6 is usually a line of demarcation. All right, so let's talk about this because there's a ton of people with diabetes. What did you do to lower your A1C?
Diet and exercise.
Yay. Okay, well, those are the two. That'll do it. Yeah, when you're talking about type 2 diabetes, of course, it's largely a lifestyle disease. It's not autoimmune.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people want to do the right thing, but in many cases, they don't even understand what's spiking their blood sugar.
You know, I mean, I just decided, my son actually, because with the liver issue that I had, I was having cognitive issues.
Yes.
And what the doctor told me was I had toxic levels of ammonia in my system.
Oh, that can be really dangerous.
Yes. I mean, I was literally getting lost in my own neighborhood. Well, I mean, I couldn't do my job.
It'll give you brain fog. Absolutely. Can't concentrate.
Awful.
Memory problems, confusion. Yes, absolutely.
Confusion, yes.
Yes, yes. Very common.
I thought I was getting a lot of people actually thought I was getting dementia or else, because I'm 71 now. I was like 67, I think, when this started.
Uh-huh.
And I was confused. I was getting lost. I couldn't do my job. I couldn't count money at work.
Mm-hmm.
All these weird things, but I wasn't saying anything because I was, sometimes you don't want to face up to it. So finally, my son goes, "We're going to the hospital."
Good.
So we went. And they checked me out, and they put me on something called lactulose, which is it's almost like a real strong laxative,
right?
And to clear out my system, because it was high levels of ammonia, which were affecting my brain.
Of course,
and after I got rid of all that, I was fine. I don't take that anymore. I just took it for a few months, and it was gone. But then my son said, "We're going to cure you of diabetes, ma'am.
Good.
It can be done. We can do this." And sure enough.
Good.
So, yeah, I don't take any insulin anymore, no metformin, nothing.
Good.
And, I'm keeping it down. So
good.
My doctor, in fact, it got down to 4.8, and she said, okay, no more metformin either.
Well, of course not. Said, no, you want to take...
She said, "I wish all my patients did what you're doing, because we'd be better off." I wouldn't even have patience, but took it very seriously,
That's wonderful. And as I'm sure your liver specialist told you this as well, you can wind up with toxic levels of ammonia because of the liver. It won't convert the ammonia into urea.
Right.
So you wind up with elevated levels because of the uremic cycle.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was all related,
that.
He said. So
it
I
is.
Got, hit with diabetic, being diabetic, liver disease, the brain, the ammonia thing, all at one time.
Yeah, and the ammonia is really serious, really serious, because it's not always reversible. You can wind up with permanent brain damage, so you want to watch the heck out of that.
Yeah, no, if I start getting a little forgetful or something like that.
Yeah.
But I've been navigating through this move. I mean, I'm like, my son, my oldest son, he said, he's a lawyer, and he said, when you're a lawyer, you have to be able to see around corners.
Right.
And so that's kind of, I've taken that mindset, and with this move, I've navigated, who's helping me pack, and where am I going to get boxes, and I've kept everything going, through, and it's only, my cousin was telling me, she goes, "I had to move in 3 weeks. I says, "I'm moving in 2 weeks."
Yeah.
And I have a lot of stuff to move to and figure things out, but I've been able to do it, and I'm really proud of myself because...
You should be. You absolutely should be.
Yeah, I could have stayed here and...
No.
Well, I couldn't, because then they didn't renew my lease on me. And I'm like, shame on you for that,
Well,
I haven't seen them or anything. They live next door.
Right. No, I think it's wonderful. I don't care what caused it. The fact that you're getting out of there is going to be a life change that will benefit you for decades to come.
I sure hope so.
Oh, I guarantee it.
I'm sure it will.
And you'll get through this.
I know that you said you wanted to know.
I do want to know. And I want to know when you get into the new place. And between now and then, 2 weeks is a short period of time to move that much stuff. And I know it's driving you crazy. So here's the thing. Do not look at the big picture. Just take it in each bite. Today I'm going to do this. And don't think beyond that. Because if you look at the big picture of what all you got to get done, it's going to be paralyzing. Don't go there.
Riley, I have all my little things moved in already.
Good.
All I have to do now is wait for the movers, and they're coming next Friday.
Oh,
so
good.
And I'm so organized, I can't even believe it, and I'm so organized. And
wonderful.
My middle son said, "Mom, I'm going to pay for the mover for you." So we got that all set up today, and my other son borrowed a pickup truck. He's taking some more boxes and some things out of the garage tomorrow.
Good.
But, yeah, so all that's it's going to be a nice, easy week for me coming up because I did all the work already.
Absolutely. But, this is great. This is wonderful. Well, once you get in there, call us back and let us know how it is.
I will. A week from tomorrow, all right. I'm moving in.
Good
I'll
deal.
I'll be sleeping there.
Oh,
thanks
yay.
So much.
All right. Thanks for calling. Thanks, good story, Donna. Appreciate it. All right. Donna's on the absolute right track. Good for her. All right, so 888-876-5593. Next call will be JC. He's a first-time caller. JC, you got to hold on. Don't be impatient. It may take a while. The news might happen or something, but we will get to you next right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. We got a minute before the news, so we'll forego the bumper so we can meet JC. Now, JC, a first-time caller, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. So we're going to start for about 30 seconds here, and then we'll pick it up after the news. What's on your mind?
I have a question about FM radio.
Okay. Sounds
and I have a question about a song.
Oh, yeah? What's the song?
So what's the song?
Yeah.
And off we go. Yeah. Sweet Soul Music.
Oh, okay. Arthur Conley.
I don't know who does it. I know who wrote it.
Yeah,
I know who wrote it.
Well, very good. Hang on there. We'll talk about Sweet Soul Music and radio and anything else you want to discuss right here, right after the news on WGN Radio.
Right.
Don't go away. I'm Raleigh James. No, that's not Arthur Conley. That's Sam Cooke. That's actually a posthumous album. That's off of Shake. Yeah, man. And, that was long before Arthur Conley got together with Otis Redding to write Sweet Soul Music. It gets worse as far as that goes. You might remember the opening riff from Arthur Conley's Sweet Soul Music. Well, that's a different ripoff. The Magnificent Seven, the main theme, Elmer Bernstein, about 17 seconds into it, just very reminiscent, don't you think? Yeah, all right. So that's a couple things. I don't know if that's anything that JC wants to talk about, but there's some of it. So, all right, JC, pick it up there.
No, I think it's the second one that you played.
Well, the second one is the opening riff. They didn't get sued for that. On the Magnificent Seven,
no.
the opening of to Arthur Conley's Sweet Soul Music comes directly from the Magnificent Seven main theme, that riff. And like I say, didn't get sued for that. But for the first thing I played, the Sam Cooke, Yeah Man, got sued big time for that. J.W. Alexander was Cooke's business manager and still very much alive in March of 1967, when Arthur Conley and Otis Redding together, quote-unquote, wrote that. And, sued him successfully, and the settlement included adding Cooke's name to the writer credits.
No, I think it was the second version. But I have a question about FM radio.
Okay. I'm ready.
Something that's been bothering me for decades, and I mean decades. I'm in Chicago suburb,
uh-huh.
And they just keep playing the same old songs over and over and there's no change. And I just can't understand. I don't understand it. So I think I've come up with an answer, but I want to hear your answer first.
Well, first, I thought we were going to have a technical discussion. That's okay. I thought we were going to get into...
No,
that's all right.
I'm sorry.
No, that's good. Don't worry about it. That's good. But in terms of why do stations program the music they do, there's a number of answers to that, and including, of course, laziness and all that. So it's not unusual. You know, years ago when... on FM, when they were first, after the field effect transistor made FM viable, you could actually not drift and hear it. You had underground stations and progressive stations, but they absolutely did nothing in terms of business or ratings. And so superimposed on that was a pretty substantial format in terms of what they'd play and when they'd play it. And for many people, it was the phrase was, you know, oh, wow becomes oh, no when you hear Stairway to Heaven for the 432nd time. Now that said, I will say that when you play what people want to hear and play it over and over, you know, it's arguably fully proven that you'll get ratings. But at what point does it denigrate to such overuse that you're repelling people? Well, again, you know, if the numbers fall, you're probably going to do something else.
Yeah, but I don't get it. They play the same songs over and over.
Well, that's always, you know, that's been the case since Top 40 debuted in the early to mid 1950s.
Yeah, but why isn't there any you step into another?
That's not what listeners as a group want to hear. Again, you're trying to program to the widest variety of people. And so someone who is absolutely an astute music lover and all that is probably going to be sickened by what they're hearing. But, you know, years ago, I had a program director. I love this. Some of the jocks were complaining about the music. And he said, just about the time you tell me it's overkill, that's the time that the 25-year-old housewife finally realizes the name of the song. And there's a lot of truth to that. You know, there are phrases like familiarity breeds content rather than contempt. Many people, and I can't tell you the amount of people I've heard, you know, calling in oldie shows saying, oh my God, you played It's My Party and I haven't heard it in years. It's like, what the? You know, so when you look at the run-of-the-mill average listener, they are not repelled by what you're talking about or the stations wouldn't still be doing it.
Yeah, but who chooses to play those songs? Is it a PD, program director?
Well, right. If it's not brought in on a syndicated format or whatever, yeah, it's going to be a program director. But they're gonna make the choice in a variety of ways, including research of all sorts of stripes. So, it's not necessarily their personal taste by any means. That'll hang you. It goes by what they believe is going to be the most popular songs with the largest amount of people in their given format, whatever it might be. Years ago, I had a good friend, Randy Kabrick, who sadly is no longer with us, and Randy was a very close friend. There used to be a contest that a promotion man put out whereby, and this was... The reason he did this contest was to make program directors actually listen to songs. And the contest was, we're going to give you 20 songs, and the program director who comes closest to guessing where they will peak on the Billboard charts will win the Mercedes. And so, say they did it every year, and they did it because they wanted the program directors to actually hear them. Well, here comes Randy, God love him, and he says, well, that's stupid. I can do that without ever hearing any of the records. And he said, I don't need to hear the records. I can make the decision without having any idea what they sound like. And they said, well, go ahead, Randy. Bottom line is he won the Mercedes. because he understood, he could look at it from the standpoint of the act, what the act had done previously, the label, how much money was going to be put behind the records, what else was coming out, et cetera, and so forth. And he won the damn car without ever hearing the records. Well, of course, they were fit to be tied because, of course, they were doing this contest to force people to hear the records. So, you know, that's one case. So, of course, there's a certain amount of research that goes into it.
Okay. What if somebody called in or went to these a radio station and said, hey, I have something that I think the people would like to hear?
They won't be interested.
It's different.
They won't be interested.
Firstly,
you're probably not going to get anybody to answer the door if anybody's even there. And secondly, the likelihood that they would listen to something unsolicited is almost nil. And, of course, promo people continually try to do things to get you to hear the music. You know, I own radio stations in Arizona, and I can't tell you how much email I get every day of, here's our new release. I've never heard of one of them. I just delete the emails.
Well, it's pathetic. It really is pathetic.
Here's where it's not pathetic. If we were having this conversation in 1958, of course it wouldn't be FM, but regardless, then there would be a finite amount of things for you to listen to. But today, in 2025, you go online and you've got tens of thousands of opportunities to hear anything you want to. So vote with your ears. Listen to what you want. It is available. And, of course, with today's cars, you can easily get what's on your phone into your car speakers without a problem, and on and on and on. So, no, I have no sympathy for this, because you can hear whatever you want to hear. And if enough people would do that, then the radio listening would go down. And if the radio listening went down, somebody might have to pay attention.
Okay, I have a question about Sweet Soul Music.
All right.
All right, I know who wrote it, but I don't know who does it.
Arthur Conley, the co-writer. That's who does it.
Didn't you play a couple versions of it?
No, I didn't play a couple versions. The first thing I played was a Sam Cooke record that was recorded 4 years before it. That's what they ripped it off from.
No, but, the version I've been hearing, which is shocking to me.
The only version you hear is Arthur Conley. It's the only one anybody plays.
This is shocking, but I've heard this song on the radio a couple times, which is shocking. It's on MeTV Radio.
All right.
And
yes,
it's
the Arthur Conley record. It was recorded in January in 67 at Fame in Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
I love that song.
All right.
I love it.
Very well.
Yeah. And I don't want to tell you how to run your show, but
good.
If sometime in the future, if you could play that, the beginning of that song and a couple bars.
No, I'll play it as a bumper. But, you know, you talk about records you hear over and over and over. Sweet Soul Music is high on my list of that, but I'll be happy to play you some of that, the version that was Arthur Conley had the big hit. All right, I'll do it.
All right.
Thank you for calling.
Raleigh.
Appreciate it. Call again.
Bye.
All right, so there you have it. No, it does sound exactly like that Sam Cooke song, doesn't it? And, of course, that's why they were sued. All right, and why Elmer Bernstein didn't pipe up? Well, it's a little harder with a riff, but I'm sure that that's only part of the story. All right, so we will play that as our next bumper. In fact, I'll do that next. Yeah, just for JC, we'll hear Arthur Conley. Do you like good music? Yeah, all that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Our playlist, we'd been together too long, just playing worn out recordings of no one's favorite songs. So I went to the PD with a legitimate gripe, but he just smiled as he told me keep up that hourly hype. If you like Gino Vanelli or Elton John all the time, if you adore Kenny Rogers, Lionel Richie is fine. If you like Man Alone at Midnight, Billie Jean makes you shout. And we're the station you've looked for. We play the hits, burn them out.
How come I keep hearing the same songs every hour?
Gotta play familiar music. Next.
Why don't y'all play some beach music?
Our research shows no one listens to that. Next.
Y'all play Beat It.
Sorry, you're out of our demographic.
Please don't misunderstand me. I know I sound kind of mean, but my shift in this format have fallen into the same old routine. So I wrote to our consultants, see what George had to say. And though I'm nobody's poet, I asked the question this way. Do you like Chuck Mangione and hauling oats all the time? Do you adore Barbra Streisand? Does Billy Joel ring your chimes? Do you like Man Alone at Midnight? Does Billie Jean make you shout? Are you into repetition? What's this format all about?
Why don't you play more oldies?
We're fine-tuning the station. They don't test well. Next.
Why don't you guys play Thriller?
That record's gonna be a stiff. Next.
When are you guys gonna go off automation? Hello?
And so I waited with high hopes. Then they delivered the mail. I knew that line in an instant. Take this advice or you'll fail.
Yeah, I couldn't resist. John came in and said, you gotta play that. All right, that was Larry Crockett and his wife, Anna. At the time, Larry sadly been gone since 1994, died of diabetes very young. But he was a beach music lover. In fact, I convinced him to release beach music composite albums, and he did it. Yeah, the Ocean Drive series. And just terrific. But for a while, he was working at WRAL when George Johns was a consultant, and he sat down, obviously, with one of those tracks from, one of those, what they ever call it. But anyway, he did that and got Anna to do the phone calls, and just hilarious, I thought, anyway. So there you have it. And yes, I will play the Arthur Conley version of Sweet Soul Music coming up, but that was all for JC's pain of hearing the same thing over and over and over. All right, so with that in mind, let's see. We got Ken in Chicago and Cindy in Chicago and Ruth and Gurney and Mark and Aurora and Chris in Greenwood and Johnny in Austin. So this is going to be an action-packed half hour, and I can't wait to talk to all of you. But Ken's got a request, so Ken, what is it?
I have to agree with the guy that called. Yeah, that's 87.7 FM, and they claim that they play music you don't hear. It's the only oldies radio station in Chicago. I can look at my clock and know what the next song's going to be. Occasionally, they'll play a different song, a song I've never heard or haven't heard in a long time, and that's one of my record requests, Don't Ever Be Lonely.
Oh, poor little fool like me. All right.
Yeah, before it's too late.
Yeah.
That's a good song. I've never heard that on that. But you can look at the clock and say what's going to. They play the same Beach Boys, same this and that. He's right, that last caller.
Well, you know, it's really funny you mentioned that, because now that you mentioned that, they are syndicating that format. And, you know, I've got an oldie station. Yeah, and I've got an oldie station, of course. And as you know, I call it none of the hits all the time, because I don't play hits. I just play the obscure stuff I want to hear and don't care if anybody hears it. But it's so funny, because I got one of those solicitation letters, you know, about how to be perfect for my station. And I actually answered it. I said, I don't think you've heard our station, none of the hits all of the time. We play the music you've never heard.
And this is what they say.
Yeah, the guy apologized for writing. Fortunately, I haven't heard him again. Thank God.
You know what happens too, Raleigh? They don't say who was that they just played. Or nobody takes requests anymore.
No, but they're not live. They're not live.
They're not live. Yeah, no, I know on the weekend he has like the best of the 70s. Yeah. I know that's
I don't know the station in particular. I'm going to look it up. But from what you're saying, I'm pretty sure it's the one I got that solicitation where I just laughed for hours. So, yeah. All right.
And also, I'd like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for playing 3 seconds of Jerry Lewis.
What? That was enough, wasn't it?
Just the fact that you even considered playing with it that touches my heart.
Oh, I'm so glad. Hang on a minute. We got Laura's phone number, and I want to get yours again to get you together. Okay, good.
I got it from John.
All right. Thank you. And here comes the news. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye bye.
Do you like good music?
I'm Raleigh James, and there it is, Arthur Conley, 1967, for JC and everybody else who wanted to hear sweet soul music. Yeah, we told you the history of that. All right, so we got Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina, the birthday boy. Tomorrow's the day, the big 39. Happy, happy.
Thank you so much, Raleigh.
Well, sure, I realize now it's actually today, because where you are, East Coast time, it's after midnight, so this is actually Saturday, it's tomorrow, all right.
Yeah, it's the 5th.
Yeah, the 5th, all right, so tell me, the 5th, all right, so isn't it already the 5th where you are in South Carolina?
Yes, it is.
All right, so this is the big day, and what are you doing to celebrate?
Yeah, well, I'm doing to celebrate... Later on, like around 4 p.m., 3 p.m. y'all time, I'm going to hang out with the friends of mine at the Film Society, David, Roy, and Peggy, and Cindy.
Okay.
So they're going to take a surprise, like, out somewhere. It's a surprise. They're going to, like, put a blindfold on me, and, you know, it's a surprise.
Yeah, good.
And hopefully I'll go to the Emerald game as they play Woodruff. My birthday, play at home.
Good.
I'm probably going to get some shout-outs on the radio left and right this weekend.
As well you should.
Yeah, even I'm going to be on the morning news on WHNS, which is Fox, Carolina.
Okay.
In the morning around 8 a.m.
That's pretty good.
And also Saturday, which is my big day.
Yeah.
I'll be on Trash or Treasures on WCRS. And... hopefully, Aunt Ella can play some favorite songs that I like.
Okay.
And I'll do the WCRS scoreboard. And also, Clemson plays, and I hope they win, despite the loss with the LSU last Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, and I hope the voice of Clemson, Don Munson, gives me a shout-out as well. And also, speaking of shout-outs, I'll give one of my people that's nearly my birthday a shout-out. First one to start off is Melissa McClure Owen. She's the same birthday as me, born 10 years apart from me.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my classmates that got the near same birthday as me is Langley Minton, Holly Fender, and Sam Whitmire. All the September babies.
Okay.
Happy birthday to Good. This big C.
Good. All right. Well, this is a wonderful thing. I hope it is a marvelous weekend, Chris.
Oh, yeah. When is your birthday, Raleigh?
Oh, it's right around Christmas time. I try to forget it.
Oh, yeah. So your real name is Raleigh.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
My real name is Christopher.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. So, yeah, nothing I can do about it at this late date. All right. So.
Oh, yeah. And you got my song request, too?
I forget what it is. Oh, my God. What did you request?
It's Jodeci.
Oh, I do. I do have that. Yes, yes. You and I. Absolutely. I do have that. I have that written down, actually. All right. I will play that next for your birthday.
Oh, yeah. And you want me to save you some cake for you?
No. I'll be with you in spirit, though.
Oh, yeah. But remember, next year, it's going to be the big 4-0 for me.
Oh, see, you're
willing. I'm getting younger.
Yeah, but you're willing to admit that. I think you just should have the anniversary of your 39th birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, no reason to go beyond that.
Yeah, and I share like the same birthday. You remember James Curtin that played on Saturday Night Live and Kate and Ally?
Okay.
I share the same birthday as her.
All right.
I share the same birthday as Jeff Foxworthy.
Okay.
And Doozy Kurt and many of them. Even I almost shared a birthday as Christian Alfonso that played Hope Brady on Days of Our Lives, which today is her birthday, and also Bob Newhart.
Okay.
The late Bob Newhart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good.
So you'd be surprised whose birthdays you share it with.
I'm sure that's right. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
All right. Good deal. And I found Jodeci, and I hope that it actually is you and I. I should listen to it first. All right. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that right this moment. I'm going to listen to it, and then I will play it for Chris. The birthday boy. Happy, happy, happy on WGN Radio.
Es tan bueno saber que tú te sientes igual. Vamos a hacer esta noche especial, papi, papi.
I love you, baby.
Nada más tú y yo. Te amo, Jojo.
I don't know what happened. Well, anyway, we say happy birthday to Chris on that. And gosh, time is moving on, and want to try and get to as many of you as I can, but I can't not get to Johnny because, of course, we always like to talk about what he's doing Sunday nights, but there's other stuff as well. So, Johnny and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh.
How are you?
Happy birthday, Chris.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, what was the name of that Larry Crockett song that was a parody thing about
Well, right.
Radio?
It's not. It is just a tape I have. We call it Crockett's Classic, you know. But it was based, obviously, on the Pina Colada song, but it never was put out or anything.
Oh, it's just your copy.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I'd love to have a copy of that.
I'll be happy to. No, he had sent that to me when he did it because, you know, he knew I was close to George Johns. And, of course,
yeah.
You know, he just had fits because, you know, George was George and he wasn't going to let you have anything to do with the music. He was just basically say, have fun and cook. Don't ask me what you're playing, you know, and drove Larry crazy, especially when he wouldn't play Beach music.
When I worked under George Johns at KRBE, I don't know if they just weren't paying attention, but after I got comfortable with the format, I just kind of threw in whatever I wanted. Nobody either didn't know it or didn't care.
Right, and he wasn't there to know. You know, George notoriously didn't like to travel.
No, I didn't know
that.
Oh,
yeah, no, he almost never went to the markets.
Yeah, but he was was he the only consultant I ever worked under? I think so.
Well,
I worked under Ed Shane for a while.
Right.
Yeah,
I liked Ed.
You know, oh yeah,
I didn't have to work with him, but you know, liked him as a person. So yeah.
But anyway, I know you're pressed for time, but I do have a Sunday night show, Soul of the City, and you can get there with the address is soulofthecity.net. It's Sunday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. It's brought to you by HoustonRadioPlatinum.com. That's the station who made it possible to hear that show.
And also, if you've got a Wi-Fi radio and you're trying to get Soul of the City and nothing's coming up on it, if you try Houston Radio Platinum, it probably will. And as long as it's
It definitely will.
Yeah,
definitely will.
As long as it's Sunday night between 6 p.m. and midnight Central Time, we will hear it and not only some great music, guaranteed, but some wonderful clips of soul jocks from back in the day.
I'm still working on these famous soul jocks.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them, and it takes a lot of work to clean these things up because some of them need equalization and audio processing. You know, they're real muddy
absolutely.
Out of phase and all this. So it takes a lot of technical work to get them to sound good.
Yes.
But I can do it, and, you know, as long as it's not distorted.
Yeah, well, right. Right. Now, if you could fix that, my God, you'd be a multimillionaire.
Oh, I would. Yeah. And, tell the gentleman, J.C., who is tired of hearing the same old stuff on terrestrial radio, that's a good plug for the Sea Crane Radio. We can hear radio stations from all over the world on that thing.
Yeah, CC Wi-Fi 3.
You don't have to put up with that terrestrial crap anymore.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't share much sympathy when I hear that from people because, you know, these days you can. You can go listen online to anything your heart content.
I can't listen to radio as I knew it anymore. I can. Yeah. I mean,
that's why I'm lucky enough to be on WGN, the only talk station I know that truly is talk on the weekends, too. You know, most places on the weekends, it's one infomercial after another. And it's just demoralizing. And WGN just does not do that.
I didn't realize until you talked last night that until Sean came along, they didn't do jingles.
Never had one. Nope.
They sound good. And
yeah.
I'll tell you, a friend of mine who's long gone, he grew up with WGN and just loved that station. I actually got a tour of it back in the mid-2000s when a lady named Margaret Osborne was a promotions director. Anyway, he got to see it and sit in with a couple of people. And well, I'll tell you what he loved about that station that I guess I can't think of the guy's name that came through there. I never can. Randy Michaels came through there. Mm. And they took the time tone off at the top of the hour. And this friend of mine loved that time tone. You might try to get him to bring it back.
Yeah. Well, you know, I, of course, I can't lobby for that because, after all, we know I've never, ever met a time tone.
No, it doesn't matter. Well, anyway, a lot of stations had them. Some were soft, some were shrill, but the WGN one was very nice. And anyway, but that's long gone in the past. I don't even have an air check of it. But I know you got other things to do, but if your listeners love good soul music, check me out on Sunday night, thesoulofthecity.net. If you have an internet radio or you have other ways to listen, go to Houston. What's the name of it? Houston Radio Platinum.
I love that.
I know. What's I get everything all screwed.
Yeah, no, believe me, I understand that. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm on that station every morning, too, from 5 until 10 Central,
so there.
Central Time.
Yeah,
so thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend. And
Let's talk next week. Okay,
we
thanks.
Will.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You. Okay, okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah, oh, that'll be a lot of fun. So, yes, on Sunday night, 6 to midnight Central. So check that out. All right, so Cindy in Chicago, I do believe, got her malware removed. So, Cindy, it was malware?
Well, it was just some, like, stuff I downloaded. I don't know. Malware is like, it's like, you know, where they want to get in your computer, right?
Well, sure, but I mean, he didn't find any of that. It was just the downloads you made. That's good.
Yeah, the guy in North Harwood Heights Library, James, will help you with anything with the computer. But then anyhow, I was so thankful that I called up to find out what his favorite Starbucks drink was and brought it to him because I was so thankful.
That's so nice. All right, I'm glad it worked out.
And and now my computer's back to my tablet's back to where it was. And then, anyhow, I looked at Vogue magazine, and they have the IT model. She's blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I pulled out my leather coat, my leather jacket, because that's what the latest.
All right.
So and then I'm wondering, I guess the anniversary of Chuck's death is coming up, and I'm wondering if you could play My Maria.
All right. We'll do that next week. I will. My Maria, B.W. Stevenson. All right. You getcha. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Bye. Bye. Have a good weekend, Cindy. All right. So 888-876-5593. My Maria. I'm writing that down. Hopefully I won't lose the piece of paper. And let's see. Mark is in Aurora. Yo, Mark.
Well, we don't have enough time for what I was going to do, but I might make a couple of points. One, there's another song called You and I, and it's by Rick James. And that's the one I thought I would hear until I heard who the artist was going to be. And I thought, oh, let's listen to this. The thing about MeTV FM is that I believe that they play a limited batch of songs for a day or two, and then they play another batch of songs for a day or two, and then another batch. And that's why your listener thinks that he can predict what they're going to play next by looking at their clock. But if 2 days went by, he wouldn't be able to predict it anymore. I still hold that MeTV FM plays songs that absolutely nobody else plays.
Name one.
I just heard one today by the Cowsills, something about flying high or whatever.
We can fly.
Yeah, we can fly. I don't know if I've never heard any other.
I actually have that on KJ. It's the only Cowsill records I really like.
Well. Then maybe you're the only other one who plays it. The other thing about MeTV FM is that they're still playing History of Rock and Roll by Wink Martindale. Wink Martindale is dead.
Well, that doesn't matter.
I'm just saying it's archived.
Yeah, no, I mean, that doesn't matter. After all, the History of Rock and Roll that Robert Everly Morgan did in the 60s, that's still played. He's been dead forever. And hell, the Charlie Tuna show, his family didn't even do his obit for a year because they didn't want people to know he was dead.
And then the other weekend, the weekend show that I think your listener was talking about was Yacht Rock. It's not a 70s feature per se, because they play 70s and 80s. And then the other one that they do is a dance feature that lasts from 9 to 1 a.m. But I'll modify it a little bit. They play songs that hardly anybody else ever plays, because I've heard songs on there that I have not heard in decades.
Very nice. Well, I know if I even heard the words yacht rock, I'd be changing the dial. I wouldn't even wait to hear what the song was. You know, that would be like, warning, warning. Yeah.
And they've got a nice guy now as their program director. Phil Manicki used to be an announcer at The Drive, and now he's program director at MeTV FM. And I think he's got some creative programming ideas. I'm sometimes intrigued at what he chooses to do on the weekends.
All right. Well, all right, Phil. Go, Phil. Good deal. Hope he's having fun with it. No, I mean that most seriously. I mean, you know.
And by the way,
yes.
Technically, they're not on 87.7. They are on an old television frequency, which
Channel 6.
It's supposed to be 87.75, my Sea Crane radio tells me it's actually 87.74.
Right. No, that's the old Channel 6 frequency, the whole thing on that, of course.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but their Yacht Rock Radio is on a lot of stations, by the way. I love this. You'll love it. On Fickle 93 in Rochester. All right. Well, very good. That's
Rochester, Minnesota or Rochester, New York?
New York. Fickle 93. All right. Well, there you are.
Oh, what are the call letters of that one?
Oh, do they have call letters? I have no idea. It just says Fickle 93.3. You look it up.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, I mean, I used to live near Rochester.
I know you did. So that's why I mentioned that one. No, I know. I avoided mentioning things like Retro 97 in Honolulu. All right. So, but yeah, apparently they're on a lot of radio stations. So somebody is listening to Yacht Rock, but I'm glad they're warning me that it's on so I can get out of there before I get sick. All right. Thanks. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. All right. So, and they're probably laughing all the way to the bank. So good luck to them. Just don't expose me. All right, apologies to Ruth and Gurney. We didn't get there. But, you know, that's what we have next week. We didn't do a lot of things tonight, but we had fun. At least I did. It's always better when you call. So, bottom line is, that's a wrap. Now, we thank Bob for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling, which makes the show easier to do. I love easy, so nights like this are just great for me. Now, tomorrow night is a replay of Monday Night Trivia. I think there's a straggler. I don't remember. You'll have to listen to find out. And then Monday night, we will be live, somewhat bifurcated, on After the Game. Don't ask me what game. We'll find out Monday night right here on WGN Radio.